Now, 60 years ago this month, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the birth control pill for prescriptions with the promise of giving women more control over childbearing. Just days before its anniversary, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments in a case that could allow some employers to deny coverage of the pill based on moral or religious objections. Our next guest says the pill has been a major player in some of the most contentious issues of the last half of the 20th century and an important tool for women looking to achieve control over their lives. Elaine Tyler May teaches American Studies and History at the University of Minnesota. She looks at the intersection of gender, sexuality, race, culture, and politics in the U.S. during the 20th century. Her books include America and the Pill, A History of Promise, Peril, and Liberation. Elaine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Let's look back at some of the earliest impacts of the pill. And you've written that, you know, people think of it affecting single women a lot. Actually, it had a bigger effect on married women initially. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Well, of course, married women were the ones who were having sex more than single. There were more married women, and they were the ones who were most at risk of having getting pregnant and having children. Certainly, single women were also at risk of having sex and becoming pregnant. But there were more married women, and at the time in the 1960s, the marriage age was quite young, and so young people were getting married at a greater rate and obviously at risk of getting pregnant and having children right away. So it was really the family planning aspect of the birth control pill that promoted it initially by its most of its advocates, that it would help couples delay and space their children so that they could have as many children as they wanted and be able to take care of them in terms of their own plans for their families.
You've written about the ways that the pill did and didn't live up to what its earliest supporters were hoping for. How much did it live up to that promise? How much did it change the lives of married women being able to plan when they got pregnant?
Well, the thing about the pill, it was revolutionary. It was revolutionary on three counts, really, in terms of a contraceptive device. And basically, if nothing else had changed, this is what the pill would have achieved. It separated the act of sexual intercourse from contraception. Up until that point, any kind of contraceptive or birth control methods required an interruption of the sex act. And the pill removed that. The second thing it did is it put contraception completely under the control of women. So their sex partner might not necessarily even know that they were taking the pill and wouldn't necessarily need to give their approval. So it put the control in the hands of women. And thirdly, the birth control pill was by far the most effective form of contraception that was available at the time. It was almost 100% effective if it was used properly and consistently. So that's what made the pill revolutionary as a contraceptive. Now, what made it revolutionary in terms of the lives of women was that it coincided with the beginnings of the feminist movement and opening up of workplaces for women. So if it hadn't been for that, the pill would have just been a much more effective birth control measure. But because it came along and was really given a lot more life and a lot is because it was a time when the women's movement was beginning to push open a lot of doors that had been closed to women. And what the pill did is it made it possible for increasing numbers of women to actually walk through those doors without fear of getting pregnant and having their hopes and dreams and aspirations curtailed by unwanted or inopportune timing of getting pregnant and having children.
I've heard the case made over the years that the pill happened and then that led to the sexual revolution. Is it that simple?
No. No, it's not that simple at all. First of all, the sexual revolution has a much longer history that predated the arrival of the pill. And second of all, as many of the proponents at the time were quick to respond to any reporters who asked that question, isn't the pill going to contribute to what they called at the time sexual promiscuity? And that was a word that was only used in terms of women. Men were never sexually promiscuous, only women. Men might be sexually active, but it was never that pejorative term that was used to talk about particularly single women. And what people at the time said, and it was pretty much true, is that the pill in itself didn't really change people's sexual behavior. To some small extent, it may have helped single women who were sexually active to prevent pregnancy. But it wasn't like suddenly the pill was available and a whole bunch of single women who wanted to have sex would say, whoop-de-doo, there's a pill. Now I can take the pill and go off and have sex. It just didn't work that way. It was much more the way in which sexually active women, either single or married, made use of the pill to help them control the possibility of getting pregnant.
It's the 60th anniversary this month of the approval of the birth control pill for prescription here in the United States. Elaine Tyler-May is with us from the University of Minnesota. Her books include America and the Pill, A History of Promise, Peril, and Liberation. Do you see ways in which the birth control pill didn't live up to the promise initially, Elaine?
Well, it did to a large extent, because within just a few years, the vast majority, certainly of married women, they were using the pill. And the pill was very widely accepted and supported, even advocated by mainstream political and religious institutions in the country. Almost every institutional religious organization supported the use of the pill. Even the Catholic Church came very close in the mid-1960s to approving the use of the pill for Catholic women. And even when the Catholic Church did not change its policy, within a few years of the approval of the pill, Catholic women were using the birth control pill at the same rate as non-Catholic women. And I think in many ways it did live up to its promise. Problems with the pill had to do with side effects that some women experienced that were either inconvenient or painful or dangerous. There weren't a lot of those, but there were enough to cause some alarm. And when the pill was first approved, it approved at a very high dose. And over time, research supported the effectiveness of lower dose pills. And so those did develop over time. And the fact that the pill really did require consistent use. And so if women who took the pill did not use it properly, did not use it consistently, they could still get pregnant, and many did. Overall, the pill was very successful in terms of what it was intended to do, but it didn't revolutionize people's behavior other than in the sense that it really did revolutionize the ability, particularly for women, to control procreation. And in combination with the women's movement, it helped to open up a lot of opportunities for women. But without that, it might not have made as big of an impact as it did. I think we really can't understand the impact of the pill unless we put it in the context of the importance of the women's movement as a means of creating new opportunities for women that then the pill could help facilitate.
In a piece you wrote, I think on the 50th anniversary of the approval of the birth control pill, you say that one issue we didn't necessarily resolve for women in particular was the ability to balance parenthood and work. Could you talk about that and where we stand on that now?
We're still having problems with that. Women are still responsible overwhelmingly both their jobs and major responsibilities for care of children and the home. And it didn't equalize work opportunities or compensation for women. Women continue to be paid lower than men and continue to have opportunities in the workforce that are limited by their gender. So we still have a ways to go before we will have complete equality between men and women in a whole variety of ways. And the pill couldn't solve that.
Elaine, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Elaine Tyler-May. She teaches American Studies and History at the University of Minnesota. She's the author of the book America and the Pill, A History of Promise, peril, and liberation. We looked back at the impact of the birth control pill approved 60 years ago this month.